HMH Audio presents Die with Zero, Getting All You Can from Your Money and Your Life. Written and read by Bill Perkins.
To Sky and Brisa, may you have the fullest lives possible, full of adventure and love. Author's note. Maybe you've heard the classic Aesop fable of the ant and the grasshopper. The industrious ant worked all summer long, storing food for winter, while the carefree grasshopper fiddled and played all summer. So when winter came, the ant was able to survive, while the grasshopper was in dire straits. The moral of the fable? There's a time for work and a time for play. Great moral, but when does the ant ever get to play? That's the theme of my book right there. We know what happens to the grasshopper. The grasshopper starves. But what happens to the ant? That is, if the ant spends his short life slaving away, when does he get to have any fun? We all have to survive, but we all want to do much more than survive. We want to really live. So that's what I focus on in this audiobook, thriving, not just surviving. This book is not about making your money grow, it's about making your life grow. And I've been thinking about those ideas for years and arguing about them with friends and colleagues, and now I want to get them out to you. I don't have all the answers, but I do have something here that I know will enrich your life. I'm not a certified financial planner or a family investment advisor. I'm just somebody who wants to live my life to the fullest. And I want the same for you. I believe everybody wants that kind of life. But realistically, not all of us can get it. And just to be upfront, if you're struggling to make ends meet, you might get some value out of this audiobook, but not nearly as much as someone with enough money, health, and free time to make real choices about how to put those resources to the greatest use. So listen on. I hope, if nothing else, I get you to reflect and rethink some of your basic assumptions about life. Chapter 1. Optimize Your Life. Rule number 1. Maximize your positive life experiences. In October of 2008, Erin and her husband, John, were successful lawyers with three young children when they learned that John had clear cell sarcoma, a rare and rapidly growing cancer of the body's soft tissues. Nobody thought that a healthy 35-year-old would have a tumor the size of a baseball, Erin recalls. So no one suspected cancer until the tumor had spread to John's back and leg bones. We didn't understand how serious his condition was until he had an x-ray and it was lit up like a Christmas tree, Erin says. The grim diagnosis terrified and overwhelmed her, and with John too sick to work, the full burden of taking care of the family physically and financially fell to her. It was too much for one person to bear. I had been friends with Erin since we were kids, so I wanted to do everything I could to make the situation less horrible. Stop what you're doing, I told her, and spend time as a family while John still can. I also offered to help with the costs. It turns out I was preaching to the choir. Erin had already been thinking about quitting work to focus on what really mattered. And that's what she did. So at their home in Iowa, between John's cancer treatments, the couple enjoyed the simple pleasures of each other's company. They go to the park, watch movies, play video games, and pick their kids up after school together. In November, when local doctors had done everything they could, without success, Erin found a clinical trial in Boston, where she and John made several trips to undergo the experimental treatment, using their free time to go on some of the city's historic tours while John could still walk. All too soon, though, their hope faded, and one day John broke down at the thought of everything he'd miss, from watching his children grow up to passing the years with Erin. John died in January of 2009. Just 3 months after his diagnosis. Looking back at that period, Erin recalls the trauma and devastation, but she is glad she quit her job to be home with John. Most people would have done the same in these circumstances. Death wakes people up, and the closer it gets, the more awake and aware we become. When the end is near, we suddenly start thinking, what the hell am I doing? Why did I wait this long? Until then, most of us go through life as if we had all the time in the world. Some of that behavior is rational. It would be foolish to live every day as if it were your last. You wouldn't bother to work or study for a test or visit the dentist. So it makes sense to delay gratification to some extent because that pays off in the long run. But the sad truth is that too many people delay gratification for too long, or indefinitely. They put off what they want to do until it's too late, saving money for experiences they will never enjoy.